consider items you can repurpose for another part of the home. For example, move an unused chair in your living room into a bedroom to create a reading nook. Keep your focus on function as you make changes that accommodate your lifestyle. Make smart additions. Once you've cleared your space and sold things you no longer need, you can convert that extra cash into reliable home appliances and tech. For example, purchase or upgrade items like vacuums, lawnmowers, power washers, drills, and more to help take your spring cleaning to the next level. You can make your money go further by choosing certified refurbished products. Some marketplaces, like eBay, offer inventory that has been professionally inspected by the manufacturer or a manufacturer-approved vendor to look, feel, and work like new. Commit to revisiting regularly. It's easy to let clutter and disorganization slide when you get busy with life's demands. Once your spring cleaning and reorganizing is complete, commit to reassessing your home on a monthly or quarterly basis so you can make small adjustments along the way rather than face a major project every year. Master Gardeners, drought-tolerant plant is perfect for an ornamental shrub. By Debbie Rowland and Emmy Ohmschneider, Master Gardeners. Another star from Permian Basin Master Gardeners' recommended plant list is the skeleton leaf goldeneye, Viguera stenoloba. It is a member of the Asteraceae flower family, the largest of the flowering plants. You might already be familiar with sunflowers or asters. If you look closely at the flowers of sunflowers or asters, you will see that the flower actually consists of two kinds of flowers, ray flowers around the outside and disc flowers in the center. It is one of the largest members of this family found in our area, forming a green mound of aromatic leaves and perfect for an ornamental shrub. In its native habitat, it is evergreen, but this far north, it is hardy to minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit. This plant is native to rocky areas, so well-drained soil is a must. It grows from the Rio Grande Valley west to the Trans-Pecos and to the Edwards Plateau, and was named for the French botanist René Figuier, who was at the University of Caen until his death in 1931. The connection between the plant and the botanist is unknown. Once established, it is 3 feet tall and about 2 feet wide and flowers all through summer until fall. The flowers are yellow and daisy-like. Skeleton leaf goldeneye does great in full sun, but can also take some light shade. You will need to water regularly until established, but after that, once every few weeks should be enough. Too much water will guarantee you will have plenty of seedlings to share. At the end of winter, but before the plant begins emerging with new growth from the ground, it will need to be cut back. This pruning will encourage new growth. Without pruning, it gets leggy and scraggly. The flowers on skeleton leaf goldeneye is a nectar plant for butterflies and other insects, provides seeds for birds, is a larval food plant for butterflies and moths, and the mounding growth provides cover. The foliage contains volatile oils, hence the name rosin weed, and has some resistance to deer. Once established in your yard, the heat tolerance is very high. If you want to see this plant, it lives happily in the garden at the Ector County Annex building on 8th Street in Odessa that is maintained by the local Master Gardeners. With so much to offer, you can't go wrong by inviting this plant into your yard. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Texas Master Gardeners. We are an educational service organization of volunteers trained by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. visit westtexasgardening.org. Protect backyard chickens from disease, parasites. Bird flock health critical for production sustainability. Special to the Odessa American by Adam Russell, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. College Station, with interest in backyard chicken production during COVID-19, increasing the number of small flocks in Texas, experts are advising producers, especially beginners, to focus on the health of their birds for sustainable success. There are two preventative measures backyard producers can practice to protect their flocks: basic but consistent biosecurity and buying vaccinated birds, said Martin Ficken, DVM PhD, resident director of the Texas A&M Veterinary Medical Diagnostic Laboratories, TVMDL, Sam and Sally Glass Poultry Diagnostic Laboratory, Gonzales. Chickens face many common diseases and pests, including internal and external parasites that can negatively impact a flock, he said. But buying vaccinated birds and practicing biosecurity, or procedures and practices that can protect the flock from outside pathogens and pests, can greatly reduce potential problems. Ficken said he strongly recommends backyard producers establish a relationship with a local veterinarian for consultations regarding diagnosis and problems and treatments within flocks. We're here to help, but having a local veterinarian who can diagnose the problem and talk you through the options for any number of situations is a valuable component to any backyard producer, he said. They can also give you tips on preventing health problems specific to your operation, which is always better than reacting to a problem. Vaccinations prevent disease in backyard chickens. Ficken said flocks should only be started and or expanded with vaccinated birds from reputable sources. Buying birds vaccinated for Marek's disease or inoculating chicks upon hatching is the best way to prevent more than 90% of opportunities for the disease to spread. Marek's disease can devastate flocks, and Ficken said it is everywhere. Birds with Marek's disease become lame or suffer neurological damage that continues to deteriorate, he said. Unvaccinated birds typically become infected within a few weeks of hatching. In my mind, every bird is infected within the first few weeks, and you can't keep it out, he said. It's going to be an issue unless the birds are inoculated, and the inoculations are good for the life of the bird. They're not 100% effective, but it's close, and it cuts down on problems. Ficken said backyard producers can vaccinate their own chickens, but he recommends inoculations within the first day of hatching. While Marek's disease is a common and serious threat to backyard flocks, the most common problem is respiratory illnesses, typically related to mycoplasmosis, Ficken said. With mycoplasmosis, birds become sick, but infections are not typically fatal unless the animal has or develops secondary issues that compound the illness. Signs of mycoplasmosis include coughing, nasal discharge, swollen sinuses, conjunctivitis, and secondary bacterial infections, Ficken said. Infections are treatable with antibiotics. Ficken said a common scenario for a mycoplasmosis outbreak is the introduction of asymptomatic birds to an established flock. The birds are introduced without quarantine and shed the disease through bodily fluid and waste for other birds to become infected. Backyard producers should also monitor for pox lesions, Ficken said. Vaccinations can prevent or put an end to pox outbreaks. The disease is spread by vectors like mosquitoes. Backyard chickens' best practices. Ficken said biosecurity is the best way to protect a flock from an outside pathogen, but that it takes diligence. Exposure to outside pathogens can happen in many ways, including contact with new chickens or wild birds, vectors like mosquitoes, or even contact with a pathogen brought in on the bottom of a shoe, clothing, or hands of the person tending the flock. Biosecurity principles are easy to understand but hard to practice because you can't make a mistake, he said. It's so easy to walk something in on the bottom of your shoe if you don't maintain a high degree of scrutiny when it comes to what the flock is exposed to. Backyard producers should have dedicated clothes or a pair of coveralls and shoes that are strictly for entering the coop area. They should also practice good hygiene, like washing hands before and after entering the coop. Cleaning the coop and other areas frequented by chickens will also reduce the risk of a pathogen establishing within the flock. You have to scrape the litter out eventually because chickens aren't discriminatory with their droppings, he said. A buildup can help amplify the problems if birds are shedding a pathogen, and pretty soon you have a full-blown problem. Cleanliness on the ground, perches, and nests should be considered part of the biosecurity to maintain the health and welfare of your flock. Quarantine new chickens and monitor flock. Vegan also suggests quarantining new chicks and adult birds for 3 weeks before introducing them to the flock. Monitoring and physically inspecting them for signs of pathogens and tag-alongs like mites could prevent a small problem from becoming a big problem. External parasites like mites, fleas, and lice are easy to catch and treat during quarantine, but also easy to miss if you are not looking, Vegan said. Sulfur dust is a cheap and easy way to keep chickens in frequented areas clear of mites. Topical parasiticides for birds and treatments or pressure spraying the coop may be required for lice, fleas, and ticks. Treating one bird is much easier than dealing with an infestation that requires treating the whole flock and the areas they frequent, he said. But I've also seen a lot of examples of how detrimental external parasites can be to bird health and production. Even birds dying of anemia due to severe bloodletting. Internal parasites are another health issue that can spread through a flock, Ficken said. Coccidiosis is a common gastrointestinal disease that occurs due to an internal parasite, Ficken said. The pathogen is a single-celled organism that is typically introduced to the flock via the producer's shoes or equipment used in the coop. The infection spreads as the host bird sheds the disease via fecal matter. Signs of coccidiosis are diarrhea, listlessness, and stunted growth. A bird that eats heavy rations but still loses weight is a good indication of internal parasites, he said. Diarrhea is another potential sign. There are a number of treatment options for internal parasites, including coccidiosis, available.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing to read another article from the Odessa American, Sunday, March 21st, 2021. Pets of the Week. Pody, a 2-year-old male white and black lab, needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Pody or one of the any other pets at the Odessa Animal Control, stop by 910 West 42nd Street or call 368-3526. If Pody has been adopted, there are many other pets that need good homes. Moose, a 1-year-old male German short hair pointer mix, needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Moose or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane. Call 381-5503 or visit odessahumanesociety.org or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption center, and all their pets require spay or neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50. coconut, an adult male, red-orange, short-haired cat needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Coconut or one of the any other pets at the Odessa Animal Control, stop by 910 West 42nd Street or call 368-3526. If Coconut has been adopted, there are many other pets that need good homes.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. Guilt-free snacks just in time for spring by United Supermarkets Nutrition Team. So many events this past year looked a little different. While we may not be doing large gatherings or our typical vacations, it is important to stay mindful of those vacations and how we fuel them. For example, if you're taking a road trip, healthy and delicious snacks are a must. It provides less touch points on your journey, but it also allows you to get to your destination faster, winning all around. But let's say you're staying home. This point of helpful snacks will still applies. Here are some snacks we've been lovingly lately. First, let's talk about blueberries and Kerrygold cheddar cheese. When building a well-rounded snack, we generally look for a balance between protein, fat, and carbohydrate. This combo gives us all the feels since blueberries are in season and deliver a good source of carbohydrates. And it's like we traveled to Ireland to grab this cheese without the actual travel. And it also delivers a good source of protein and fat. Next, let's talk about popcorn. Live, love popcorn. Bagged popcorn is nothing new, but the flavor profile on these is insanely good. We love popcorn as a snack. With it being a whole grain, a touch of protein and fiber in the nutrient composition, and the amount you get to indulge in per serving, pro tip, their truffle salt flavor has us hooked. Need a drink? Look at Hint Water or flavored Smart Water. Temperatures are rising and staying hydrated is of the utmost importance. These have some fun flavors without the carbonation like some others on the market right now. So, if flat water is your jam, give this a try to spice up your daily fluid intake. Last, let's talk about Benito's and Holy Guacamole. This is something almost everyone loves. While this is a fantastic snack in and of itself, opting for a higher nutritional value item is what we are on the hunt for. Cue the Benito's and Holy Guacamole. The Benito's are a great alternative to traditional corn chips as they are a bean-based chip delivering more protein and fiber. Pair that with some pre-made and already portioned Holy Guacamole and you are set with a well-rounded snack to keep you satisfied. One of our favorite ways to snack is to combine a few snack items to create a trail mix. This one is just in time to share for Easter, too. Easter trail mix in a jar. Ingredients: one box Annie's Bunnies, one package Robin Eggs, 2 cups toasted rice or wheat cereal, 1 cup banana chips, 1 cup coconut chips. Instructions: mix all ingredients together in a large bowl. Serve in mason jars for on-the-go snacks, gifts, or whatever the occasion. Mike Collier gives lecture to UTPB students from oil and gas industry by Michael Barr. Longtime businessman and politician Mike Collier spoke to University of Texas Permian Basin students Tuesday afternoon at the Library Lecture Hall on campus, sharing stories from his time and experiences working in the oil and gas and industry. "I'm very honored to be invited out here to be a guest lecturer," Collier said. I couldn't be more proud to be invited. Among the things that were discussed were negotiation skills as well as ethics. Collier started his career at Exxon, but soon found his way to PricewaterhouseCoopers, where he helped develop and then divest. He continues to work with companies investing in energy in Texas. Collier started making his living in the energy industry in 1984 and says that there has been plenty of change over the past 37 years. Each time we see change, we worry about what this means, Collier said. I'm immersed in that, and I have a point of view about what I think the changes mean. I think I have good news for people in the Permian Basin and the energy world. There is a place for oil and gas, and we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about negotiation. I don't intend to be a prophet about negotiation, but what I am going to do is share some stories of how I've seen negotiations go down in the industry and offer perspective that perhaps students haven't seen yet. When talking about ethics, he said, it's something that's near and dear to my heart. He shared some stories about ethical failures in the business world and what people could learn from it. Collier put his professional career on hold to run for Texas Comptroller in 2014, where he won the Democratic nomination in the unopposed primary. He lost the race to Republican Glenn Hager, receiving only 37.7% of the vote. In 2018, Collier won the Democratic primary for Lieutenant Governor, defeating Michael Cooper, carrying 52.4% of the vote. Collier was defeated later that year, losing to Republican Dan Patrick by 5% of the incumbent. Tuesday's visit was his first on the campus of UTPB. I've known folks that have gone to UTPB, Collier said. I've never been on the campus, but I love it. It's as beautiful as I thought it would be. After the lecture, Collier and the students engaged in a Q&A session. One of the things that Collier stressed to the students was to be humble in business. If you're not humble, your reaction is, you're wrong and I'm right. That's an arrogant person, Collier said. A humble person will say, what do you know that I don't know, and try to understand. Being humble was a part of the lesson that Patrick Laws, a senior who's majoring in business management from Big Spring, got out of the lecture. It's good to learn that you got to be humble in business, whereas a proud man won't take advice when it's given, Laws said. Laws also talked about other parts of the lecture that he enjoyed. It's good to get knowledge from people who've already been there, because I'm looking at getting my CPA as well, Laws said. Under the photo, the caption reads, Mike Collier speaks to students at University of Texas Permian Basin Tuesday at the Library Lecture Hall. Collier spoke about his experiences from working in the oil and gas industry.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021.
Habitat Donations, A Way of Life for Odessa. The story was written by Michael Bauer. For Daryl McMahon, the director of operations at Mesquite Oasis RV Park in Odessa, helping out with Habitat for Humanity has been a big part of his life. Whether it's helping build the homes or donating supplies, McMahon has been involved with Habitat for Humanity in some way. Last week, McMahon, along with park manager Rhonda Trenna, donated numerous supplies to Midland's Habitat for Humanity's ReStore. McMahon said that with everything going on this past year, they wanted to help donate for a good cause and help out as much as they could. Quote, Habitat for Humanity builds homes, and we have always helped out, McMahon said. They're a great organization. We had stuff here at the park that we donated. It's about 20,000 items that we donated to help out the communities and everybody. End quote. The supplies all range from washers and dryers to kitchen sets. McMahon has lived in Odessa for about 2.5 years, and he's helped with Habitat for Humanity before. He said this is the first time that he's provided a major donation to them since moving to the Permian Basin. Quote, I've helped them build homes before throughout the country, McMahon said. It's always a good organization. It's a good way to help out the community. End quote. Before relocating to Odessa, McMahon said in his previous location in Port Lavaca over by the Gulf Coast in Calhoun County that he would help build homes for families in need. Quote, we would do a lot of the work, but the family that was going to take over the home also had to participate, McMahon said. It means more to you when you're involved with it. It's a pretty good way to get people to help out and take pride in their own house. We've always helped out from the ground up. End quote. The ReStore sells donated building supplies, furniture, appliances, windows, doors, and other items to contribute to the Habitat ministry. Quote, a lot of people think it's just to furnish those Habitat houses, Midland Habitat for Humanity ReStore Director Tammy Schmidt said. Quote, that's not at all what it is. It's a resale store that uses slightly used furniture and decor and art and building construction. We use those profits to pay for the administration and pay for the building of houses for people that otherwise would not be able to afford a home. That is what we do. End quote. According to Schmidt, every purchase at the ReStore helps build a better life and a better community for Odessa and Midland. Quote, all of our profits are strictly in this area, Schmidt said. We build the houses, and they are in Midland and Odessa. End quote. The Midland Habitat for Humanity opened the ReStore back in 2002. Schmidt says the donation from Mesquite Oasis has meant a lot, and that because of it, they will be able to help build more homes this year. Quote, that is money to go build a home. So it means everything for our community to be able to build more homes, Schmidt said. Midland used to build about 4 to 5 homes, and this year we will complete 13 homes, so for every donation, and with theirs being such a large donation, it means a lot of income, and therefore will go a long way to building a home, end quote. After Mesquite Oasis got in touch with the ReStore, Schmidt says they were able to come out to the park and see what McMahon had. Soon after, they were able to pick up all the supplies and bring them to the store in Midland. Quote, we scheduled a pickup and they've been great partners, Schmidt said. They called last week to tell us that they had new sets and it's been an incredible help to changing lives, end quote. For McMahon, just being able to help out with the community has been important. Quote, if someone needs some help, that's the bottom line, McMahon said. As hard as everything has been this past year with COVID and the oil crunch, we want to help people out, end quote. Not all items are accepted at the ReStore, including mattresses, clothing, gas appliances, dishwashers, and built-in ovens. For those interested in donating and to find out which items are acceptable to give to the ReStore, call the Habitat office at 432-686-8877.
Thank you for joining us for this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8.
Now